You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah! Feels good.
What's 38-122 final score here inside of Fiserv Forum? It feels a lot better than it did on Sunday as the Bucks storm back, evening up this best-of-seven series with a convincing 138-122 victory over the Miami Heat. Now headed to South Beach for games 3 and 4, Saturday and Monday. Here's what you need to know. You get 2 more days off between game 2 and 3. It seems like there's a very good chance Giannis is going to play in game 3. He was trending towards playing. It seemed like he was close to a game time decision, although that decision was made a little bit before this game, as Giannis did not participate in the usual shooting groups he's out there in with Chris Middleton. But as we heard from Bud before the game, it's trending in a positive direction, and now you get your last extended group of time off in this series between 2 and 3. After game number 3, every game in this series will be played on 1 day rest. So you get some more rest for Giannis moving into game 3, and if you can get him back on the floor, a lot of what you saw tonight, even if you can't get him back on the floor, a lot of what you saw tonight is something this team can replicate, and I do expect them to replicate for the remainder of this series. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And I just knew that was going to be the soundbite that we played coming in. Tommy Wirtz, our producer tonight, told me before, I got a quick soundbite from Bud. I think you'll enjoy it. And that answer, I believe, Tommy, in listening to Bud, was about how does it feel to be part of the 2 games in NBA playoff history where a team hit 25 threes, and tonight you're on the good end of it.
That's correct.
The Cleveland Cavaliers hitting 25 threes against Bud's Atlanta Hawks back in 2016, and now Mike Budenholzer and his Bucks do it to the Miami Heat. A lot of parallels, it seemed like, between this game and game number 2 between the Bucks and the Heat 2 years ago that we'll get to throughout the duration of this show. I mentioned plenty of time to hear from you as well. Our laundry list of usual callers on this show, get their insights and their thoughts on this one tonight, as this was the exact type of performance you wanted to see tonight from your Milwaukee Bucks. And I mentioned, there's a lot of things from this performance I do believe you can replicate for hopefully just 3 more games in this series. But however long this goes on, look, we said after Sunday, it was disappointing. It was frustrating. The sky is not falling. This is still a 1-versus-8 matchup. If you lose the game tonight, it's not over, but that's where you start to say, okay, margin for error is basically gone. Winning this game, returning to form here, and doing some of the things we mentioned before the game we expected the Bucks to do. Get back to their defensive roots. Take away some of those shots that Miami was getting in the paint and near the rim, and force the Miami Heat to beat you from the outside. Yes, they shot 60% on threes in game number 1. It wasn't a high volume of threes. And in talking with some people with this team before the game, Bucks, obviously there were things to clean up. They didn't feel as though we were late on rotations. We gave up open looks. We gave up bad looks. The Heat hit a lot of contested threes in game number 1. Those are the numbers you typically point to and say, when we talk about regression to the mean, it's the contested shots that usually don't continue to fall throughout the course of a series. I think if you looked at the first through third quarter statistically tonight, it was everything you would have anticipated and said, look, this is the offense for the Miami Heat. This is what you can expect to see for most of this series. For the first 3 quarters of this game, Heat shot 49% from the field. 31% on threes at 8 of 26, and those are right in line with what Miami does for a full game. They were 15 of 20 at the free throw line. They continue to turn the ball over in this series, which is really the alarming thing. But that first through third quarter, it was basically the Bucks saying, okay, Jimmy Butler is going to have to get his because no one else is getting it here. We don't trust these shooters on the Miami Heat team. Look at how the Bucks defended Jimmy Butler for most of the game tonight. They did a much better job, even though he did get up to 25 points. There's a lot more court awareness in the KYP. Know your personnel. The way they did not close out on Jimmy Butler on the perimeter and said, look, we'll give you that shot. We'll give you a long two. We'll give you a three-pointer. If you're going to make it, you're going to make it. But Bam Adebayo, we're going to pull Brook Lopez out a little bit more. Not that we're going to deviate from the drop defense. We're just going to tweak it a little bit. And Brook is going to extend a little bit more past the free throw line to get out there on Bam Adebayo. The other shooters, if they get open looks, they get open looks because we don't trust this group. And you saw what the result was with this 16-point win. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's go to the phone lines as we kick things off here and talk with Patty in Oak Creek. You lead off the show. What's going on, Patty?
Hey, Justin. I talked to you on Sunday. All right, just a couple things here. So I was at the game, of course, and we drove the lane. We were penetrating the paint, and our defense was stellar. And I found out, I did a little digging. You know, I have a question to you on Sunday in regards to why Connaughton wasn't playing. And I did some digging, and I guess Bud and Pat had a little tiff somewhere in January, late February, and that's why Pat was sitting. So I could be wrong, and I could be right.
Hang on a second. You can't just say I did some digging and leave it at that.
I don't want to say. I'm just trying to be PC here, because I asked you last Sunday. I mean, I asked you on Sunday why Pat wasn't playing, and you said, "Well, it was a tie." And I'm sorry, I think that was wrong. So, Pat played tonight. He did not play on Sunday. Look at what he all did tonight. So if we would have had Pat in the game on Sunday, I think things would have been a little different. But they were on their game tonight. And I'm telling all the listeners out there tonight, we're taking both in Miami, and then we'll come back here, and we're closing it up. So it's a Bucks and five. Bucks are going to take Miami in a heartbeat. There's no question about anything.
Look, they are the better team. And I think tonight you were reminded this is a 1-versus-8 matchup. When you did call, I do remember that, and I told you they have better options than Pat Connaughton. And overall, I think if we look at the course of the regular season, that's a big part of it. And Pat, I think, would be the first to tell you he did not have a good season. A lot of that is probably tied into the injuries and how that ate into his season. The rehab certainly took a little bit of time for him to get his feet back from under him. He said that earlier in the season. It wasn't a great season statistically from Pat, and I think the biggest thing was he never found that reliable shot, and that's one of those things you're going to need from Pat Connaughton. All of that being said, once you saw, or we all saw, that Wesley Matthews was out of this game, you did recognize there's a big opportunity now for Pat Connaughton, because if there is one team on the path here that the Bucks will draw that he probably matches up best with, it is this Miami Heat team. Both the teams that assume we get past the Miami Heat, both of your potential opponents in the Knicks and the Cavs, it's not bad matchups for Pat either. I think the real struggle would be in another potential Bucks-Celtics showdown. You got to get there first. But this Heat team is a very good matchup for Pat because he does a good job fighting around screens on the perimeter and chasing. And with the injury to Tyler Hero, it was kind of twofold. You lost Wesley Matthews. You're going to need more perimeter depth. And Giannis, by the way. And the Heat lost Tyler Hero, which means Duncan Robinson is going to have to play. And traditionally, Pat has been the guy in the past that has drawn the Duncan Robinson assignment and been the guy that just chases him around the perimeter. Obviously, Duncan Robinson's role is lesser than it is now than it was then, but this really seemed to open the door for a big opportunity for Pat Connaughton. And, you know, to your point, he took advantage of that big time with the first half. He really started to swing this game because you felt okay. I think it was most promising how the Bucks did get the ball to Brook Lopez early and built up that lead. It was still around 8 or 9 points for large portions of that first half until Pat Connaughton started to knock down threes and make some defensive plays. His impact, and I think Bobby Portis's impact, were key in not only building that lead, but giving you something else you did not have at all on Sunday, and that was the interaction from the crowd.
Right. The crowd was very weak on Sunday, Justin, seriously. And I think we're going to be okay. I promise you, you know, if we can just drive the pace, stay healthy, Giannis is going to be back. And I think just staying on defense, we got Miami. That no big deal. Like, to your point, Justin, is our big opponent here is Boston.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's who we have to center on. So I wish the Bucks fans good luck, and if anyone can get to Miami, go to Miami and cheer our Bucks on. Have a good night, everyone.
All right, thanks for the call, Patty. And look, we got to get to a series with Boston first. You got to get through Miami. You got to win three more against the Miami Heat. You got to get through whoever that is in the second round. So you got to do a lot of work to get to Boston first. But tonight felt like a reset, and this is what you anticipated to see in this series. The Miami Heat, you read the front of the jersey, it's daunting. This isn't that same group from the bubble. This isn't that same group, obviously, from the Heatles years, where Bucks in six was born. This is not the same Miami Heat team. It's not the same team they were a year ago. This is very much a 1-versus-8 matchup, and I think you saw tonight some of those things that the Bucks were able to do early in this game as a reason to believe, look, even if, and I don't believe this to be the case, but even if Giannis does not play again in this series, the Bucks can and should beat the Miami Heat in this best of seven. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We talked about the differences between Game 1 and Game 2. Joe Ingles said something very, very interesting to me and Dave Kane after the game. I do want to get to that. And also, the first half from Brook Lopez. We've talked a lot about Pat Connaughton, what Brook Lopez did in those first 12 minutes. We'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk.
Going to go the other way. Bucks on a 15-2 scoring run. Holiday tries to add to it, and he hits again from the left wing. Another three for Milwaukee, who is now connected on 10 of 15. They have turned the tables on the Miami Heat tonight.
When it was all said and done, the Bucks hit 25 threes tonight. It ties an NBA record for most three-pointers made in a playoff game, matching what LeBron James' Cleveland Cavaliers did to Mike Budenholzer's Hawks in 2016. And the Bucks bounced back in a big way tonight at Fiserv Forum, taking down the Miami Heat with a 16-point win to even up this best-of-seven series at a game apiece. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Josh in Madison. You're up next.
Hey, Justin. Great win. Great bounce back win tonight. I always enjoy listening to your show on the drive home after the game. One question is, it seems like we're going to let Adebayo take that 14, 15-foot jumper from the free throw line. Brook was off him 3-4 feet, and he hit probably a 6-7. Is that our plan, to just let him take that shot all night, and Brook not going to come out and get a hand in his face? It just seemed like our offensive focus was great, our defense was okay, but it still wasn't where it could be.
I thought the defense was better than okay tonight. The defense was terrible on Sunday, and Brook did come out further than he did in Game 1, but the Bucks are still going to play a drop against this Miami Heat team, so you're going to concede those shots near the free throw line and the longer mid-range twos especially. To me, it was all about you gave up so many looks around the rim. I mean, Miami beats you to the basket a lot of times in game number one, and they got a lot of good looks, a lot of good layups and shots at the rim that is not typical of a Bucks defense. And the Bucks just got back to what they do best and took that away tonight. I thought you saw a really good job of matching personnel against what Miami had out there, especially in those Kevin Love minutes. Those started to become exclusively Bobby Portis minutes. And it was just a good job of taking away some of those easy baskets and not allowing Miami to build up what they did on Sunday. So overall, defensively, I didn't have a problem with almost any of what we saw tonight from this Bucks group.
Yeah. I thought it was way better than Sunday, too. It just seemed like Adebayo was uncontested all first half there. And I mean, it didn't matter with the way we shot the ball, right?
Well, and
so it was great offensive focus. So,
and I think part of it too, Josh, is when you look at this Heat team, you know, I don't think, and you've heard a lot of Tyler Hero that that's a bigger loss than Giannis, just based on what Miami has offensively, that you can say, well, it's already the lowest scoring team in the playoffs. It's the lowest rated team. It was the lowest scoring team one of the lowest scoring teams of the regular season. It's the lowest rated offense to make the playoffs. So you take away a consistent shot maker in Tyler Hero, and man, that's going to be a huge loss for Miami. It's still Giannis that we're talking about, so that's a bigger loss for the Bucks.
I
think tonight, Josh, you saw the difference in not having Tyler Hero, even though they had to play a half without him on Sunday. Who was the number two option? I mean, you mentioned those shots that Bam Adebayo was taking. Part of that was, look, they're only guys offensively.
He had to step up.
Yeah, that we know can knock down these shots at a high rate are Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. I mean, we're still going to give up looks to guys like Max Strus and Gabe Vincent and certainly Kyle Lowry. Duncan Robinson, when you saw him out there, he hit threes in the fourth quarter. But all of those guys, you're going to say, you know what, go ahead. We'll give you those cleaner looks. We don't think you're going to hit 40% of them.
Sure. I'm just a little worried about 130 and 122 points to the lowest scoring team in the NBA, that's all. But, it's all good when you shoot like we did tonight. So, and it definitely was improvement, so that's all, you know, that's good.
Yeah, and thanks for the call,
Josh. Not trying to downplay anything. I was just kind of curious more as to the game plan there, letting Adebayo, take that open look. And, I get it. It just seemed like, I would have been out in his face a little bit more, but I get it.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Josh. And look, a lot of that, too, was what Miami did in the fourth quarter when this game was certainly out of reach. I mean, that was the one area where you said, this is getting a little too close for comfort here. And Miami got it down to 14 at one point, but the Heat scored 37 of their 122 in that fourth quarter. So it was a number that you would certainly blush at, especially when Miami put up 130 in game number one, but a lot of that was garbage time. And again, 8 of 10 on threes in the fourth quarter when this game was out of reach. So if you filter out some of those numbers, it is a much better defensive showing for the Bucks than that final 122 score would indicate. 855-616-1620, the Old National Bank Talk and Text Line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks even up this best of seven series at a game apiece. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk with James on the south side. What's going on, James?
Well, you know, it was a nice win without Giannis in that. Can we do close to 20 threes and maybe about 50 two-pointers from the paint there to maybe make it to, how do you say, win the next three games, and can we have the four guys that played, Bobby and Splash and that, at least score 20 or 25 points to make a statement to win these next three games? Is that what it's going to take to really put, them down?
I think what it's going to take, thanks for the call, James, is what we saw for the first 36 minutes tonight. And that was a much improved defense from the Bucks, as we just mentioned with Josh, what they were taking away or attempting to take away, and the way the Bucks attacked the paint. We saw the exact same thing play out against the Atlanta Hawks 2 years ago when the Bucks had to close out Atlanta to get to the NBA Finals and do so without Giannis. They forced it into Brook. Well, force is a bad word. They went to Brook Lopez in the paint and let him take over and played the inside-out game. And it wasn't just coming down and heaving up three-pointers, because that was part of the frustration from Sunday as well, is it didn't seem to be a whole lot of ball movement. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of ball movement. And you just fell into the trap of coming down one touch, sometimes not even that, and chucking up a three, and you are allowing Miami to get in transition. Speaking of transition, that's another thing we didn't get to, but I do want to highlight what the Bucks did in transition, because the most impressive part of tonight's performance to me, and why I really feel like this was not a good sign for the Miami Heat, was Eric Spoelstra gave you the answers to the test before this game. And Eric Spoelstra, in his pregame press conference, said exactly what he expected the Bucks to do. We saw basically all of that unfold. This is what the Heat prepared for, and yet the Bucks still did that and beat them doing that. That cannot be a good sign for Miami for the rest of this series. And again, this is a 1-versus-8 matchup, so you can certainly understand why that's the case. But for everybody that was worried after game number one, the Miami Heat knew exactly what to look for tonight with no Giannis, and still they couldn't slow down the Bucks or prevent them from doing what they were most concerned about the Bucks doing. 855-616-1620. The old National Bank talk and text line. A few more calls we'll get to in a moment. But again, going back to game number one, everybody that had some high-level concerns after that loss, some of the comments we heard from Joe Ingles after the game, I think explains a little bit of what we saw as well. Maybe not all of it, certainly not all of it, but explains a little bit of what we saw on Sunday and the difference between game one and game number two. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk.
I think you underestimate having that much time off. I think people think we can just pick it back up, and obviously you have enough practices. We've played 82 games, but still having that layoff, and obviously the last couple of games, guys in and out a little bit. So it's definitely no excuse or any reason behind that we would use. But yeah, nice to kind of get the cobwebs out and be a lot better today. And obviously that's what we expect of ourselves and our team. And yeah, we'll keep that moving forward now.
Joe Ingles after the game talking with me and Dave Kane, and we have joked about this team not being their sharpest and not being their best. Joking may be underselling it. A lot of us have been serious. This team is just, for whatever reason, when they get extended time off, that first game back, especially that first quarterback, it is not the crispest you will see on a basketball court from the Bucks. But as Joe Ingles pointed out there, look, we've certainly heard people point that out, and there is some validity to it. It's not quite as easy as flipping the switch, and okay, it's time to get out there and play basketball. So it doesn't excuse dropping game one. It wasn't just, well, the Bucks are never great with layoff. It wasn't Giannis leaving the game. There were a lot of things, but a lot of things that went the way of the Miami Heat. They got a great shooting performance. They had a very favorable whistle, and it wasn't that the officiating was bad only for the Bucks. It was not officiated in a way that is going to be conducive to the Bucks. So that was a big part of it as well. There was a culmination of things that heavily favored the Miami Heat, and Miami took advantage. Miami put themselves in a position to take advantage and outplayed the Bucks on Sunday. But there are a lot of things that went into it, and I do think the layoff, as Joe Ingles himself told us, was a pretty decent part of that. And we saw the difference tonight with freshness, more freshness. The Bucks having another game under their belt and not 2 weeks, essentially, in between games being played. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Mike in Shorewood. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Great. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you there. As far as this win, an incredible win tonight. I thought, too, would be a low-scoring type of grind-out victory tonight without Giannis, and gladly I was wrong about this. Bucks' offense was incredible. As you mentioned, the three-ball playoff record there. just incredibly efficient, like, a lot like Miami was in game one. I think tonight was a lot more of what the Bucks look like, because Miami, let's not forget, is as great as a coach team they are, they're the worst offense in the league. So to me, game one is an outlier for them, because that's you rarely see that from the Heat this year in terms of their offense. Numbers have, I think, are the worst. I think they were the 30th team in the league in terms of scoring output. So I don't expect them to have that type of shooting game. In fact, I would be stunned if they have another shooting game like they did in game one, where everybody was hitting everything. In terms of what the Bucks did, I just love the way they came out from the get-go. They mess around. Brook Lopez was just incredible there. Holiday, all the big guys that need to step up. When you have the MVP out of the lineup, I think Miami thought maybe this would be they could control the game, and the Bucks came out and didn't allow them to do that. This was the tempo of the Bucks, and if they're shooting like that, there's nobody in the league. I don't think they can beat them. Maybe Golden State probably is the only team that can keep up with them when they're controlling this type of tempo and pace. So I just love what they did tonight. And as far as Giannis, it's good for him. He gets to rest up here. I don't know if he's going to play in game three, but I think for the Bucks, well, if they play like they can, I think they could still beat Miami, because I just don't think this Miami team is as good, and that's why they were in the play-in. They're a tough team. They're a great coach team by Spoelstra. But as you see, Jimmy Butler really is the only guy you have to be worried about, because I don't know what's happened with Bam Adebayo. He's hit or miss. And some of the role guys like Strus, Vincent, they're hot or cold. So if Giannis needs to sit one more game in game three, I would be fine with that, because I think they can go into Miami, which is not known really as a hostile place to play, and that they can win both or even get but one coming back to Pfizer. What are your thoughts on that? But a great overall game tonight, and I just love the way they just came out and just demolished the Heat from the get-go. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. And I thought what you saw tonight, I mentioned this a couple of times earlier, but this really at times reminded me of game two between the Bucks and the Heat 2 years ago, when the Bucks set their franchise record at the time for three-pointers made in a playoff game with 21 of them. But that was part of the stretch where, you know, I think it was, and that's the interesting part of this series, is for about 2.5 quarters in game number one, it did feel like, wow, this is kind of giving you the flashbacks to game one last time these two teams played, where Bucks had to come back, and eventually it was Chris Middleton hitting the game winner in overtime. And it felt like we were moving towards that, but the Bucks could just never capitalize. And any time they did go on a run, Miami answered with a run of their own. I mean, Miami hit 20 threes in that game 2 years ago. The Bucks hit 5 of 31. Three-point shooting, a huge difference on Sunday. Although it is worth pointing out that the Heat were only plus 12 in terms of points scored from beyond the three-point line. They made four more threes than the Bucks did. They shot at a much higher rate, but this wasn't just, hey, Miami hit 20 threes and the Bucks hit five of them. It was Miami was more efficient. Miami took advantage of those turnovers. Miami scored around the basket. They were getting anything they wanted. As we pointed out, I think the game plan for the Bucks was simple. We don't think Miami is not only going to shoot 60% for the remainder of the series from three, we don't think Miami's a 40% three-point shooting team. We're going to take away Bam Adebayo around the rim. We're going to take away Jimmy Butler around the rim. If Jimmy Butler wants to shoot long mid-range shots, if Jimmy Butler wants to take threes, as you saw the way the Bucks set up for him and defended him on the perimeter, four times saying, go ahead. We're going to play a couple of steps off you. Go ahead and take that three. He hit two of them, but you'll live with Jimmy Butler taking three-pointers. The Bucks took away all the easy stuff and said, look, if we fix this, if we clean this up, the rest is going to work itself out. And I think that's a lot of what we saw tonight. That game, game number two, the Bucks won by 34 points 2 years ago. Tonight, the Bucks at one point were up 36, and they were headed towards a 30-point win if it weren't for the fourth quarter, where Miami hit 8 of their 10 threes. So a lot of similarities we saw there. Now, as we remember, the rest of that series, the Bucks won in Miami by 29 and 17. They blew them out. And I think what you saw tonight, as I mentioned, you look at the first three quarters of this game. And the reason why I look at those first three quarters, it was out of reach in the fourth quarter. You had a couple of areas of, I don't know if I'd say concerned, but heightened awareness in the third quarter where Miami started on that 7-0 run. It went from 26 to 19 in 90 seconds into the second half. And it may not seem like a lot, but think about how many 20-plus point comebacks we've seen this season where you had to at least be aware and say, okay, let's halt this before this all of a sudden becomes 14 and 12, and then it's down to single digits. That's the last thing you can afford to have happen. And once again, the Bucks extended that thing even further and got it up to 36 in the third. I look at the first three quarters because it was fully out of reach in the fourth quarter. And in those first three quarters, if you look at all the numbers through the first 36 minutes, all of this stuff is things you would assume the Bucks can easily sustain. Miami shot 49%. Miami was 8 of 26 on threes. Now, 60% shooting for the Bucks may be not sustainable. 60% from three, certainly not sustainable. But even if those numbers come down, you were up 33 points after the third quarter. So even if you take away some of those three-pointers and the rate they were hitting them, let's say you take 15 points off the board, it's still an 18-point margin that you have, because offensively what the Heat did is what you would expect the Miami Heat to do on a nightly basis in this series, best case scenario, other than what we saw in game one. That to me is the most encouraging part is, look, we took their best shot on Sunday. I think we took their best shot on Sunday and we lost. But things started to shift back to normal here in this game. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's go to Port Washington and check in with Dick. What's going on, Dick?
Two things I got to make a point of. Reggie Miller took a lot of hit for saying that the loss of Tyler was greater than the loss of Giannis. And I think it was proven tonight. It was just there. I mean, they're a totally different team. And anybody that says, I don't understand this. Miami's going to be criticized for, we got to turn it around. We have to play different. What are they going to do different against the Bucks? I don't see him anything there. And that's where Reggie Miller was right. You don't have Tyler Hero. What else can they do? They can't do anything else. They couldn't beat us without Giannis tonight. And you put Giannis back in? It's crazy. I mean, Reggie Miller, I don't really like the guy, but he made a very valid point.
I understand the framing. I mean, it's not a bigger loss because it's Giannis that we're talking about, but I understand.
We're not talking equal player to equal player.
But we are.
That's what everyone loses on.
We're not.
We're talking about Miami needing Hero. It's a fine distinction. If Hero would have been there tonight, it would not have been a blowout. I'm sorry. I just don't buy that.
I think
it's like no one is saying that Hero is like Giannis. That's not the
point. I know what you're saying. I know Reggie Miller's point, but my point is this, and I guess we'll agree to disagree. If you told the Heat before the series, look, it means Tyler Hero doesn't play, but we'll take Giannis off the Bucks, the Miami Heat take that deal. And that's why I get it's a huge loss for the Miami Heat to not have their second most consistent guy that can create shots and make shots. And to your point, and we mentioned this several times tonight, you saw what unfolded tonight where it was basically, hey, Bam Adebayo, you got to take on more of a creation role than he is accustomed to doing. Bam Adebayo is great at playing at the nail, at being basically their point center and running the offense from the top of the key. He's a good decision maker with the ball. He can hit that mid-range shot, but you need him to be at around 20 points or more. You need more than 20 points from Bam Adebayo in this series, and those are the things the Bucks took away. But still, if you said, look, Giannis won't play in this series, but it means Tyler Hero doesn't play, I still think Miami takes that deal. I do have one question for you, Dick. Were you watching the game on TV?
Yes.
So I've seen quite a bit of this on social media, but was Jimmy Butler shown favoring his knee after he exited the game?
Yes. Yes. But so was Jay Crowder. I mean, yeah. He was, I would say this, Butler went to the bench and he tried to hide it, in my estimation, as did Crowder. Crowder went to the locker room, Butler didn't. I don't think it's anything. Neither guy, I don't think it's anything.
Yeah.
Believe me, I wish it would be Butler, but I don't think I didn't see anything.
What about the Pat Connaughton game?
Unbelievable. But you know what? I think not playing him was the big – I mean, this is a Notre Dame guy. I mean – He's aware of where he is in this rotation, and that's the best thing Bud could have done. But you know, I'm really brilliant in Heinrich's back here. But yeah, it was tremendous. It was tremendous.
All right, Dick. Anything else?
No, I'm good. I'm looking. I'm going to be in. You know, here I got to point out to you something. I was in Colorado for like 3 weeks when we won the championship.
Okay.
I'm going back for 2 weeks now, and then in June 6th I'm going back, and it's unbelievable. And you know what? We won the championship in an odd year, and it's an odd year now, and I just think the gods are shining on us. What do you think of that?
Look, I'll take it. Thanks for the call, Dick. It has a much different feel than it did a season ago, where, you know, we talked about how you approach the playoffs and the playoff gods, and it just seemed like the Bucks weren't alone here, but it seemed like a lot of the focus last year was, how do we avoid Brooklyn? Like, Brooklyn is probably going to win the play-in tournament. They're going to be the seventh seed. If we finish second, if we win that last game, man, we're going to get Brooklyn in the opening round. And I think it's easy to understand why you may have been a little hesitant of that, of going through a seven-game series with Kevin Durant. I know James Harden was not on the team at that point last year, but you would still have to face Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. You went to war with that team and that group and Kevin Durant for seven games the year prior. So I understand the hesitation. But we talk about the basketball gods and how they look down on those types of things and how the Bucks approached the playoffs 2 years prior when they won the title and said, look, if we get Miami, we get Miami. In fact, we want to play and beat Miami. You went through Brooklyn in the second round. You won without Giannis, final two games of the conference finals, and then you eventually won in the NBA finals. I know the Bucks rested guys down the stretch, but the way they played for the last month and a half of the season, the last 2 months, really, of the regular season, put them in the opportunity to do that and capitalize with some of those games to get that one seed. Talked about the last 2 weeks of the season. Look, this game against Philly is huge because you got to see the Bucks pass one of these second-half tests, and they passed it with flying colors. They did all of those things to put themselves in this spot, and now it feels like there are much different vibes going into the playoffs than there were a season ago. So that's certainly a big part of this as well. 855-616-1620, Old National Bank Talk and Text Line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So I didn't see it, obviously. The view that we have, we look at the backs of the bench. So I can't see anything that's going on the opposing bench. We're much closer to the Bucks bench. But you did hear, hey, it looked like Jimmy Butler was favoring the knee. So that is certainly something to monitor. But 2 days off, you would think, would help him out big time if there is any issue there with that knee. And it appeared as though this happened after Jay Crowder did grab at that leg. And we talked about this as the game was unfolding, too. Look, you're going to get a flagrant after what we witnessed 2 days ago in Sacramento. The league does not want to see this become a thing, and you don't want anything to escalate in any other game. But the 2 days off, you would think, if there is any issue, is going to help out Jimmy Butler. Unfortunately for the Heat, it's going to help out Giannis as well. You got a strong, strong sense, a very good chance Giannis was going to play today. But I do believe a lot of it was, look, here are our principles. Here are the things we're going to take away. We can beat this team without Giannis. If he doesn't play today and it means he's 100 or close to 100% for Game 3 on Saturday, let's do that because we're confident what we do today is going to result in a victory. When we come back, I do want to touch on, we've mentioned, hey, here's what should be discouraging for the Miami Heat. A little more detail on that because Eric Spoelstra said exactly what he expected the Bucks to do. And some of the areas the Bucks dominated the most were some of the things that Eric Spoelstra called out. What that means for the Miami Heat, what are their adjustments from here? We'll get into it after this on Bucks Talk. They get two more days of rest and then head to Miami. I expect Giannis to play in Game 3 based on some of the things we heard from Bud prior to the game and some of the other chatter around the team. I would be very surprised if we don't see Giannis. Well, I take that back. I would be surprised if we don't see Giannis Saturday night in Miami for Game 3 in this best-of-seven series. Let's grab a couple more calls here. Mike in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Yeah, good evening. Great Bucks win tonight, wasn't it? The one thing I'm going to comment on, though, is why is Butler such a sacred cow on the basketball court? That guy mauls people, pushes off, and then that play with Jay Crowder, he pulled him to the ground before the leg pull. The guy finished the entire game without a foul, for heaven's sakes. He goes to the line all the time, several times, and did the replay. Nobody was even close to him. They're calling fouls when he's shooting the ball either because he missed. I just don't quite understand why the officiating provides such leniency towards him when he's defending and just hanging all over everybody, and then he gets the quick whistle all the time. It just seems like it's so blatant when you watch the game. Not that it mattered tonight, but I'll tell you that him having two or three more fouls tightens up his game somewhat. It changes the complexion completely if they call him even, is what I'm getting at. Granted, he's a great player, but to other people, then look what they do with Giannis. They give him charging calls all the time, for heaven's sakes. Now, take him out of the game, and they seem to let him stay in the game no matter what. So, other than that, I thought it was a great game, and guys are shooting, and thank God they got Ingles. I'll tell you, that guy, he's the unsung hero, I think. He comes in off the bench, and he just consistently nails them. Didn't do it the first game, and that really was a deciding point, in my opinion, the reason why they ran away with it. But tonight, if we just make half those threes that we made, just stay good defense in the middle, don't give Butler that little 8-foot floater in the middle of the key there. That's crazy that he was getting open so often the first game. But those are the comments that I was going to have to make just because it's a fun game to watch, not just when they're winning, but when they're making shots and they're hustling and they're playing good basketball. I don't know how you felt about it, but that's the way I felt about tonight.
Yeah, thanks. I agree with most of what you said. Thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, this was, I thought, certainly a much better officiated game than we saw on Sunday. And, look, in fairness to Jimmy Butler, there was a couple of those. I know one was on Brooke Lopez. I believe one was on Jay Crowder. They were legitimate fouls. Not the one where Crowder was grabbing his leg. They were legitimate fouls where you could see in the replay it wasn't a lot of contact, but you still make contact with the, in the case of Brooke, it was the wrist on one of those mid-range jumpers, and Jay Crowder, a very similar one there. And look, I thought, and we talked about this as it unfolded, I thought it was an over-the-back foul on Jimmy Butler. A little puzzling it wasn't called, but I understand why Jay Crowder got hit with the flagrant, and it was a foul by Jay Crowder nonetheless. But look, you'll live with Jimmy Butler doing what he did tonight. If it's 25 and you say, look, we'll give you that, you're going to have to earn it. We're not putting you on the free throw line. He did get there 10 times, but we're not putting you there 15 times. We're not giving you any of these rolling downhill looks at the basket. You're going to have to hit long twos. You're going to have to hit mid-range jumpers. If you hit a couple of threes, great. That's what you're getting, and the rest of your team is going to have to pick up the slack. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Just a couple of minutes left to get in your calls. Let's grab one more here. Will I Am. What's going on, Will?
Hey, what is going on, Justin and the gang at the studio? Man, I couldn't call in after game one. Felt the heat. Felt really, unable to, I guess, speak on what I saw. But after seeing tonight's game in attendance with the crowd and our fans on their feet wanting our team from the start to the end, I think that also set a big tone tonight. And obviously just the avalanche and the stampede of three-pointers and the ability to man up this team. And, again, they didn't get those easy looks like you were saying. You got to let the Jimmy Butler circus go. You know, I've always been on the thought that any superstar that gets to the finals gets that little additional treatment in the playoffs, like it or not. Even though it looked to me as a clear over the back, like you said, they wanted to knock out the nonsense with the stomping and whatever happened out west. But the way we responded without Giannis and to see him standing and so happy.
Big, big performance from this team. We're up against it. We'll had to let you go there. But, yeah, the way this team responded and knowing, look, there's a good chance Giannis is going to be back for Game 3 is huge for this team. Game 3, Saturday night, 6:30, tip-off. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, we will have Bucks talk on WTMJ immediately afterwards. My thanks to everybody for tuning in and interacting with us tonight. And Tommy Wirtz for producing the show. Talk to you Saturday night with more Bucks talk.